Hola y bienvenidos a Sex and Spanglish, where we empower mujeres to get in touch with their bodies, own their pleasure, and where we discuss all the cochinadas our abuelas didn't tell us about. I'm Ana López, sexpert, future doctora, certified sex and life coach, proud Latina, and your go-to guide for all things sex. I'm here to help you kick vergüenza to the curb and teach you to have guilt-free sexual pleasure. Basically, I'm here to help you have mind-blowing sex without all the guilt and shame you learned growing up. Let's be real. La comunidad Latina doesn't talk about sex, pero qué suerte tienes because this Latina does. It is my vision to have Latinas worldwide discussing sex with one another just like they do with chisme. Así que, prepárate. I'm about to change the way you view sex para siempre. Welcome back to another episode of the Sex and Spanglish podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about the difference between therapy and coaching, as I promised 2 weeks ago. So here it is. Before I begin, though, I want to let y'all know that you might hear a little chirping in the background. As a child, I had a Little Mermaid gigapet that I was obsessed with, and I don't remember. I guess I became unobsessed with it and just like got bored of it, and my mom probably sold it. Anyway, I told my partner about it, and being the thoughtful person that he is, he bought me the exact same one. For all I know, it could be literally the same one that I had as a child. Who fucking knows? Anyway, he bought it for me, put batteries in it, but I don't know how to use it, and I can't figure it out. It didn't come with directions, and so it's just chirping because it wants food and shit, and I don't know how to do it. So, that being said, you might hear it in the background. I also don't know how to turn off the noise. So it's just chilling in the background, chirping every so often. Anyway, back to the topic of the day, therapy versus coaching. So first, I'm going to do a little compare and contrast between therapy and coaching. Then I'm going to get into what I specifically do as a coach, because I can only speak for myself. Just like with therapists, coaches have different modalities that they use. Each coach is different in the way that they coach, in the people that they coach, the niche that they coach, and like all of those things. Just like with therapists, there goes the gigapet. If you hear that chirping, that's what it is. Anyways, so I will be talking about specifically what I do as a coach, because that is all I can speak on, because that's what I know. Anyway, so what is the difference between therapists and coaches? So therapists are licensed. There are a ton of different licenses. So you can be an MFT, which is a marriage and family therapist. You can be an LCSW, which is a licensed clinical social worker. There's another one, I can never remember the acronym, but it's like something like CPCC or some shit like that. And basically you're like a counselor. You're like, that's your title. The letters after the name of the person are, you know, indicate the licensure that they have. And so that license is going to be different depending on the education that they received, the training that they received. And oftentimes it can look different depending on the state that they receive their training in or the state that they are practicing in, because each state is a little bit different when it comes to therapy and licensure, even if it is the same license. So that being said, that is the first difference between a therapist and a coach, because coaches are not licensed. They are not required to be licensed because they are not governed by a board. Therapists are governed by a board. And what that means is just like the board is there to make sure that they are following certain values and ethics and certain regulations, essentially setting like rules in the best interest of the clients that they serve. Coaches are not governed by anyone. It is not a regulated industry. But that does not mean that coaches do not have values and ethics and morals that they follow. They just have a lot more flexibility with what they do. Therapists are also allowed to diagnose. So they can diagnose mental illnesses. So anxiety, clinical depression, PTSD, different things like that. There's a bazillion different things mental health wise that they can diagnose you with. Coaches are not skilled. They don't have the education to diagnose you. And they're actually not allowed to because they are not mental health professionals. They cannot diagnose you. That being said, because therapists are able to diagnose, they are also able to treat mental illnesses. So if you have anxiety, clinical depression, PTSD, et cetera, any other type of mental illness, they're able to treat that mental illness using talk therapy. They can also refer you to a psychiatrist if you are interested in receiving some type of medication like an antidepressant, anxiety medication, things like that. Now, you can get antidepressants and anxiety medications from a general, like a PCP, so a primary care physician. I honestly would not recommend that. I would recommend you getting it from a psychiatrist, not a PCP, because they are not trained in mental health, but that is entirely up to you. So anyways, therapists cannot give medication, but they can refer you to a psychiatrist who then can give you medication if needed. Coaches are not able to diagnose. They are also not able to treat mental illnesses or refer you to a psychiatrist. They can, however, refer you to a therapist if they know one or they work maybe in collaboration with someone. They can refer you to someone in that way. But they can work with mental illnesses. So if you have clinical depression, if you have anxiety, PTSD, et cetera, whatever mental illness you have, that doesn't mean that they can't work, like you can't work with a coach if you have one of these diagnoses. It just means that you can't be treated by a coach. And you also want to make sure that your mental illness is being managed if you are going to also work with a coach, because if you are in a state of psychosis, if you are in a state where your mental illness is not being managed, going to a coach isn't necessarily going to help you, right? Because you are not like your best self necessarily in that moment. Like it would be like trying to go, play soccer or some shit while you have, like you're having an asthma attack. Like that doesn't make any sense, right? So you can definitely use therapy and coaching like in conjunction with one another, like do it at the same time. But it's super important to recognize if you have been diagnosed with a mental illness and you're like symptomatic and it's just like, you know that you're not functioning at your best self, that it's super important that you then seek, you know, a licensed professional for that help before you go and get coaching. I also want to mention that some therapists, not all, take insurance. And so you can go to a clinic or, you know, a private practice, whatever, and they will often take insurance. That being said, if you go the insurance route, oftentimes you have less say in the type of therapy that you receive, in the therapist that you see. You're very limited in that way, just like you are when you use your medical insurance for medical procedures, right? They're going off what the insurance says that you can and cannot do. I also want to point out that most insurances, if not all, will not approve therapy if the therapist does not diagnose you. So I actually used to work for an organization, which will remain unnamed. It's an amazing organization, by the way, but I'm just going to leave their name out of it. Sorry, y'all. My neighbors think they're cool. Anyways, so I worked at this organization during my master's program for social work. For those of you that don't know, I have a master's in social work. And so I actually worked at this organization that provided therapy for people in the community. It was community therapy, and they actually accepted insurance. The caveat to that was you had to diagnose someone. I remember the first time that I was like, I just met this person. I don't want to diagnose them just yet. I have not seen enough of them. Like, yeah, they probably have general anxiety, but they just fucking met me. Like, they probably just have normal fucking anxiety, as in, you just met me, you don't want to talk to me. I cannot in good faith, diagnose you when I've only had an hour-long conversation with you. So that doesn't make sense to me. But my supervisor was like, no, you actually have to diagnose them. Otherwise, the insurance is not going to cover it and they're going to be required to pay. So we basically had to do like the lowest type of like anxiety, lowest type of depression. Like that is something that we would regularly do, because if not, the organization would not like, or th- not the organization, the insurance company would not accept it. It is a requirement for the therapist to diagnose in order for the insurer to be covered by the insurance. That is fucking ridiculous. So that is why there are many more practitioners like as of late that are not accepting insurance. So if you ever see a therapist that does not take insurance, that is likely why. So I don't think, getting a diagnosis is problematic in and of itself. But what happens is there are many misconceptions and not helpful perceptions around getting diagnoses. And so that's where I'm like, okay, are you going to use this diagnosis against you? Like all of those things. For some people, it's helpful to get a diagnosis and that's great. But just keep that in mind. If you're like, no, I want this diagnosis, you know, be clear about what your reasons are around getting that diagnosis. I kind of went on a tangent there, but I just wanted to let y'all know that not all therapists accept insurance, and those that do oftentimes have to diagnose, like over-diagnose, in order for you to utilize your insurance. If you are currently looking for a therapist, don't hesitate to reach out to me. Send me an email at anna@sexandspanglish.com. Send me a DM on Instagram or on Facebook. I'd be more than happy to help you find one that, you know, works for you. You definitely, this goes for therapy and coaching. You want to find one that is going to be a good fit for you and what you are looking for. If you didn't listen to the episode 2 weeks ago where I talked about what to look for in a therapist, coach, or program, that's definitely an episode to listen to. I deep dive into all of that. So, anyways, do not hesitate to reach out to me if you need help looking for a therapist or a coach in any area whatsoever. I know quite a few people now that I've been in this field of work for quite a while now. And so I know quite a few people and I can help you out. And if I don't know someone, I will find someone for you. So that is kind of the difference between the basic differences between therapy and coaching. Now, how does my coaching, how do I show up as a coach essentially? Okay. So I don't think that this necessarily matters, but I think some people are genuinely curious and people have asked me, and because I'm constantly getting mistaken for a therapist, I kind of want to just throw out my credentials and let y'all know what that is. I'm not throwing this out in a way like, yes, I'm definitely prouder than proud of the credentials that I have, and credentials do not mean shit about the way in which people apply the knowledge that they learned. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Credentials do not mean shit about the way in which they apply what they learned. Which basically just means, just because they have the credentials doesn't mean they're going to be a good therapist, coach, whatever else they identify as, right? Just like not all medical professionals are fucking amazing, right? Just because they went to school and have their credentials doesn't mean they're great. There are many coaches that don't have any certification and are fucking amazing coaches, right? You don't necessarily need the credentials, but I just want to throw it out there because I know people ask me all the time and they're curious. So I'm going to do a whole other episode about like how I got into this work and like, you know, my whole background with sex and sexuality and all of those things. But for now, I'm just going to share my credentials. So I have a bachelor's in psychology. That's where I kind of got interested in, you know, the mind and all of those things. I then went on to get my master's. So I have a dual master's. I have two masters. I have a master's of education in human sexuality. So essentially, sexual education and the body and all of those things as it relates to sex. I also have an MSW, so a Master's of Social Work. So essentially the idea was that I was going to eventually become a sex therapist. And then when I learned all of this about therapy, and I worked both as a coach and essentially a counselor, because I wasn't licensed, or a therapist in training without the license, I decided therapy wasn't for me. So I went the coaching route. So again, Master's of Social Work, Master's of Education, Bachelor's in Psychology. I am currently in a doctoral program for human sexualities education because I'm interested in the research portion of sexuality. So not only like the mindset portion, but very like I'm super interested in perceptions. And so that's going to be my area of study, is basically like sexual health outcomes. So pregnancies, STIs, things like that, and perceptions of those things and how that then impacts your sex life. So I will definitely keep y'all updated on that. So those are my credentials. I also actually have a life coaching certification from the Life Coach School, and who uses kind of like a cognitive behavioral therapy approach. Like they use something that the founder calls the model. So it's essentially how your thoughts create your feelings, and then your feelings impact your actions, which is very similar to cognitive behavioral therapy, if you are familiar with that. I also have a certification from an organization that I'm not going to name because not truly a fan of them. But anyways, I have a sex coaching certification. And in the beginning of that, I really thought that I was going to get a lot out of that. And I did. And not what I expected, not what you would expect to get out of a sex coaching program. But I did learn a lot about myself and the process and what I don't want to do as a business. Honestly, I learned a lot about being a business owner in that area. But anyways, I have the sex coaching certification. It was a lot of knowledge that I already knew. Anyway, I digress. So those are my credentials. Not that they're really relevant necessarily to the coaching that I provide my clients. So what do I do with my clients? What do I do with my clients? What do I do as a coach? So as I said, I am super into perceptions. I am curious about your experiences. I want to know what's going on in your head. I'm curious about your thoughts, all your thoughts about the circumstances that have happened to you. So like, what are your main concerns, right? So if a client comes to me and tells me, you know what, like I can't communicate with my partner about sex. It's so fucking weird. And it's weird because my parents never let me talk about sex, or never talked to me about sex. And so I was very like shamed into like talking about sex and all these things, whatever, right? I'm like, okay, so that's what happened. And what do you think about that? Like, what are your thoughts about that? How is that impacting you, right? Like, I just ask a shit ton of questions, and my clients will tell you this. I ask so many fucking questions. But anyways, the idea is that I want to see what you are making your current circumstances mean about you. A lot of times what I've noticed is that I say we, and I mean like society, simply assumes you feel and think a certain way about circumstances. So if someone dies in your life, for example, or you fled a country that was in war, or you, you were assaulted in some way, society automatically assumes that you are like sad or mad or angry or hypersexual or not sexual at all, or you think bad about yourself, all of these things. They just automatically assume that you have these thoughts and feelings because you are a person that has experienced these things. But I don't believe that that is true. I really don't. I believe that everybody has their own thoughts and feelings about things. There are people that talk about you should be happy that this person died because they're no longer in pain. No, I don't. Honestly, like, call that selfish. I don't give a fuck. No, I'm not happy about it. Not at all. Right? Like, I don't expect my clients to feel any certain type of way. right? So I really explore like what it is that they're thinking. And I'm talking about those root thoughts, those thoughts that are like in your subconscious that you don't even know that you're thinking, right? They're just so down in there that you're like, when it comes out of your mouth, you're like I'll ask my clients a question and then they answer it and they're like, holy fuck, like where did that come from? I can't believe I was thinking that. And it's a thought that they've been thinking over and over again, but they never realize that they were thinking it. So that is kind of my method, this damn gigapet. Sorry, y'all. I hope y'all can hear it. Otherwise, I sound like I'm like, I don't know, like I'm going insane here. But anyway, so that is essentially what I do with my clients. I really work to figure out what it is that they're thinking and how those thoughts are then impacting their life. And more specifically, because I'm a sex coach, how is it impacting their sex life? I'm also super interested in the cultural messages that you've received. So what did you hear growing up? Like, what were the messages, both verbal and nonverbal, that you received about sex, but also about other things, about your body, about the way that you should act, about who you should date, about fucking anything? It doesn't fucking matter because it all relates back to sex. My clients will tell you, I can relate anything back to sex. It all impacts your sex life. So that is essentially what I do. We really work to figure out what are those. We have very common feelings that we have all the time. For some people, it's anxiety. For some people, it's shame. You know, other people, it's like they're really scared all the time. And so we really work to figure out what those feelings are. Also, what are those common thoughts? A lot of common thoughts are like, I'm not enough. I'm a bad, it's like fill in the blank. I'm a bad daughter. I'm a bad wife. I'm a bad granddaughter. I'm a bad mom. All of those things, those are super common. We really get down to those like core common thoughts, and then we work on those because those are not true. Many of you are walking through this world just assuming that if you forget to pack your kids' lunch, that you're a bad mom. That is not true. But if someone doesn't tell you that that's not true, you likely will continue thinking every time you forget something for your child, that you're a bad mom, right? And so what coaching does is it stops that thought like on the track. Like it stops it from going all the way through. It stops it from connecting to the next neuron, right? And so I really work to like, what are you thinking? Because many of you listening to this do not even know what you're thinking. I have so many people come to me and like, I know I need to change, but I don't even know where to start. I don't even know what I fucking think. I don't know what I want. And so I really just give you the permission to just fucking word vomit. Tell me all the things. It is my job as a coach to figure that shit out and to make associations. And if I make an association, I'm like, hey, I think you're doing this because of this. You're like, no, that's not quite it. And then we figure it out together. So this is a very like collaborative effort. So I think that's the best that I can explain how I do what I do. Anyway, if you are interested in coaching and you're like, I want to see what it would be like to coach with you, Anna. I'm super interested in this. Maybe you're one of those people that you're like, I know I need a change. I want to work with you, but I don't know where to fucking start. Come and word vomit on a consult with me. Let's talk about this. I am taking on 2 one-on-one clients between now, it is October when I'm recording this, and the end of December. I am taking on 2 one-on-one clients. So if you want to sign up for coaching, or if you're just interested in what that would look like, get on the list. I have a form in the show notes that you can just fill out your contact information and you'll be able to book a call directly that way. La Sinvergüenza Symposium is my group coaching program. We are not launching until February, but the waitlist is also in my bio. What I would suggest is if you're like feeling like, you know what, I definitely want one-on-one coaching, not sure if I'm a good fit for that or whatever, I definitely encourage you just sign up for the one-on-one coaching. We can book a consult call. We can talk about both. Let me know. and we can go from there. So anyways, both of those forms are in the show notes. If you want coaching in 2022, one-on-one is the way to go. I will leave that in the show notes. If you are looking for a therapist, if you want a referral of some kind, let me know. Send me an email, Anna@sexandspanglish.com, or send me a DM on Instagram, sexandspanglish, and I will help you out. So that is all for this week. I will talk to y'all on Wednesday for Hump Day Hot Tips. Hey, mujer, this is your invitation to join La Sinvergüenza Symposium. Redefine what it means to be a sinvergüenza and learn to do the things you enjoy without shitting on yourself. The waitlist is open and ready for your name. The link to join is in the show notes. If you like what you heard, be sure to hit the subscribe button to be notified when new episodes are released. Join me every week to hear me talk about orgasms, foreskin, dildos, and all the other cochinadas your abuela didn't tell you about. But that's not all. We'll also discuss machismo, la tía metiche, and sexual stories from other Latinas just like you. And if you're ready to start spicing up your sex life tonight, then be sure to download my free ebook, Spice It Up Con La Sex Coach. You can find the link in the show notes. And finally, let's keep in touch. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Sex and Spanglish. Be sure to follow me and let me know you heard this episode. Deseándote todo el placer, porque el placer es poder.